Okay, this is February 25th, Roy City Planning Commission meeting. We've got a little, couple minute late start, we're working on some technical difficulties. We will start with the Pledge of Allegiance. I've asked Commissioner Mifflin if she would lead us, please stand.
Who's done me the pledge?
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. While Steve is coming to the, we'll move on to agenda item number one, declaration of conflicts. Are there any commissioners that have conflicts that they need to declare? There being none, we'll move on to agenda item number two, approval of the January 14th, 2020 regular meeting minutes. Do we have a motion or any corrections?
Make a motion to approve minutes as stated in the agenda.
We have a motion, we need a second.
I'll second it.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? The January 14th, 2020 regular meeting minutes are approved. Moved on to agenda item three, which is approval of the January 28th, 2020 work session meeting minutes. Do I have a motion or corrections?
I'll make a motion to approve the January 28th, 2020 work session meeting minutes.
Got a motion, need a second.
I'll second.
We got a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Meeting minutes are approved. And we'll move to agenda item number four, which is training, and we'll be turning that over to Steve.
Awesome, thank you. Again, as you know, and some that are new that don't know, every year we do a little training. It's nothing new that some of you haven't already seen, but again, you can't get any better than the state ombudsman who does some training. So with that said, we'll just kind of turn some time over to his videos and if I can get it all to work. Come on, there we go.
If you are a local government official, and you're involved in making land use or zoning decisions, or if you work with those folks, what we're going to talk about today is the three most important things that you need to know. Decisions you make must be understood and handled correctly, or else you may violate someone's property rights or lose a lawsuit. Hello everyone, I'm Brent Bateman. I'm lead attorney in the Office of the Property Rights Ombudsman. And today we're going to be discussing what I think are
the most important
and fundamental aspects of land use decision making. The difference between a legislative decision, an administrative decision, and a quasi-judicial decision. If you're a city council person or a county commissioner, if you're a planning commissioner or staff, or if any of your duties in any way involve making land use or zoning decisions in your community, every decision you make is one of these three. But these decisions are all made differently. They have different rules, and most importantly, different effects. You know, the vast majority of local government officials that I know, they want to do the right thing. They want to follow the law. They want to protect people's property rights, and they want to make the best decisions for their community. Unless you're evil, we're talking about you. Understanding our discussion today is the key to doing that. In my opinion, knowing what type of decision you make is the first step in making the best decision. If you will remember your high school civics class, in America and in Utah, we have three branches of government: the executive branch, the legislative branch, and the judicial branch. The legislative branch, which consists of our elected Congress. Their job is to take policy and make law. The executive branch, consisting of the president or governor, their job is to take the laws and enforce them. The judicial branch's job is to determine what the law is. Hopefully they're very smart, and their job is to interpret the law in case there's some kind of dispute. Locally, in your city or county, the same three roles exist, although they may be organized a little differently. There is a legislative branch of local government. Their job is to take policy, what the citizens in the community would like to see in their community, and to turn that into law. Those are local ordinances. The administrative role arises after the law is made, and it applies the law to different individuals or circumstances. For example, if a land use application is made, the administrative role is to apply the existing land use law to that application. And the quasi-judicial role is interpreting the local laws when there is a dispute. So let's talk for a second about each one individually and how it works locally. First, legislative. A legislative decision makes law. A legislative body does this by discussing widely applicable policy considerations and formulating laws to enforce those policies. What would we like to see in our community? Let's make a law to make that happen. Examples of legislative decisions include changing the general plan, adopting or amending ordinances, or annexation. Each local government has one body and only one body with authority to do this: the city council, town council, county council or commission. No one else. And the standard of review is reasonably debatable that it advances the purposes of LUDMA. That's a low standard. A decision need only be reasonably debatable that it is good for the local community and it will be upheld. Next, an administrative decision. An administrative decision applies the law. There are no policy considerations in an administrative decision. There is no, is this a good idea, or does this work here? Those decisions have already been made and placed in the local code. An administrative decision takes an application and applies the existing law to it. Examples include subdivision or a conditional use permit or a building permit. An administrative decision can be made by any party that the legislative body appoints. Many administrative decisions are made by staff. Sometimes they are made by a planning commission, but they do not have to be. They can be made by any party appointed to the task. And the standard of review is substantial evidence on the record. If an administrative decision is supported by substantial evidence, it will be upheld. And finally, the quasi-judicial decision. A quasi-judicial decision comes into play in the case of a dispute, and it interprets the law. Every local government must appoint a person or body to handle this role, called a local appeal authority. Many places use boards of adjustment for this role, but that is not required. That's a quick overview of the three types of decisions and the differences between them. There are a lot of nuances we haven't discussed, but that's okay. This is enough to get started. Every time you make a land use decision, you have to think about the type of decision it is. Every time. If you'll do that, you'll greatly increase your likelihood of making the best decision. And hey, if you're going to make the best decision, hats off to you.
Any questions? I mean, well, the next two videos kind of go a little more depth of legislative and administrative, but we can answer any questions you have now or just keep going. I'll take silence as just keep going.
I've seen it about 7 or 8 times already.
Do what?
So we've already. I've seen it about 7 or 8 times already.
Yeah, sorry.
He's doing this for me. I apologize for the rest of you.
It really teaches you what we need to know.
And hey, if you're going to make the best decision, hats off to you.
Now, that was interesting. Yeah, informative.
So, what do we do now, Ombudsman?
And yes, he wants to be an actor.
Hello again, everyone. Welcome to What Hat Do You Wear? Part 2. I'm Brent Bateman, your friendly neighborhood Ombudsman. If you watched part 1 of this video, you remember that we talked about the 3 hats that local government officials wear. They have a legislative role, an administrative role, and a quasi-judicial role. The legislative role makes the law, an administrative role applies the law, and a quasi-judicial role interprets the law. Well, today in part two, we want to explain how to apply these concepts to the real-life work of local government. So, we've come here to City Hall to talk about planning commissions. But wait, put away that remote control. Even if you are not a planning commissioner, this information is for you. It's meant for councilpersons and mayors and city staff and property owners and developers. Knowing the planning commission's role and how it relates to the three hats will help us clarify the whole land use process for everyone. Also, let's set our quasi-judicial hat aside for now. The local quasi-judicial role belongs to your local appeal authority. That's another subject entirely. And it will require a video of its own, coming soon. Quickly, let's review. A legislative decision makes law. An administrative decision applies the law. A legislative decision could be a zoning change, an ordinance amendment, or a general plan amendment. An administrative decision applies the zoning to an application, like an application for a conditional use permit, subdivision approval, or building permit. A legislative decision can only be made by the legislative body, the City Council. An administrative decision is made by whomever the City Council appoints. So, knowing this, what is the Planning Commission's role? Is it legislative? Is it administrative? What exactly is the Planning Commission supposed to do? The Planning Commission's first and most important job is revealed in the name. It's called the Planning Commission. Its job is to plan, to make a plan for land use in the community that reflects what the community wants to be. Welcome to Planning Commission meeting, folks. We're all very fortunate to serve our beautiful town of St. Bruno, Utah, and we're here to make a plan. So, what's our plan? What do we want our community to be?
I think we should have a mix of uses in town. So commercial is fine by the highway if we must, but I will only agree to farms and large lots over by Van Moose Creek.
We've got to keep the industrial areas over by My Grand Canyon.
And what should we do in Cramped Hollow? I think a golf course.
Can we zone for a KFC right next to my house? I'm hungry a lot.
Thank you. Great plan. You guys are all kooks. Utah law states that the Planning Commission's duty is to make a general plan or amendments to a general plan and recommend that plan or amendments to the City Council. That plan is the Commission's recommendation for what the community should be. That is an ongoing process, and it takes work, and it takes time, and it takes care. We have other videos that talk about the general plan and how to make a good one. For now, we need to know that this duty to plan represents one part of a Planning Commission's legislative role. The Planning Commission is helping to make the law. Now, the Planning Commission's next role, after planning, is to make recommendations to the City Council regarding zoning and land use ordinance changes. This is also a legislative role. Zoning decisions and amending the code make the law. The Planning Commission's job is to discuss, consider, draft, and recommend to the Council land use regulations and amendments. Okay, welcome to Planning Commission meeting. Today, folks, we have an application from a Mr. Howard Widowmaker,
who would like to change the zoning on his property. He would like to change the use from an ice cream shop to an outdoor shooting range. And that will require a zoning change from the CF commercial fun zone to the CD commercial death zone.
Do we really want that outdoor shooting range there? That property's address is on Kids Play in the Road Avenue.
I knew we would regret naming it that. Well, let's hear what the public has to say. They always make sense.
Sound familiar? Well, that's the legislative process. Discussing, considering, and drafting land use regulations is, like planning, so important that the local legislative body, the City Council or the County Commission, cannot by law adopt or amend a land use regulation without first receiving a recommendation from the Planning Commission. And also, like planning, this is an ongoing process. It is a constant effort to refine a city code, to always make it better, clearer, easier, and compliant with the ever-changing state law. If this is done correctly, the Planning Commission should spend most of its time on these legislative roles, refining and changing the plan and ordinances, even for the smallest towns, is a process that cannot be neglected. And finally, the Planning Commission's role may be to make administrative decisions. Administrative decisions do not change the law, but they apply it to individual land use applications, such as a conditional use application or a subdivision approval. The Planning Commission has this role only if the City Council has appointed it to them. Staff can also fill this role. It is up to the legislative body to decide what works best in your own area. Okay, folks, our last item on the agenda today. We have an application from our old friend Cletus McPoodleface, who would like a conditional use permit to open a commercial dog kennel.
That's in the middle of the RO zone, the residential oversleeper zone. Dogs are noisy. I don't like dogs. I say we deny.
What does the ordinance say?
It says commercial dog kennels are allowed in that zone.
Shall we hear from the public on this one?
No way, Jose.
Then I move we approve with conditions. Like measures to keep the noise down?
And the smell.
That's it?
Really?
Phew. Nice job, you guys.
This administrative role is very important, but it is not a core role of the Planning Commission. Nothing in the state code gives the administrative role to the Planning Commission. However, if that role is given in the local code, it must be done promptly and diligently and in careful accordance with the law. So, that's the Planning Commission. Their role is to 1, create and recommend changes to the general plan. 2, create and recommend changes to ordinances. And 3, handle assigned administrative matters, if delegated to do so by the local code. Well, I hope this clarifies what your Planning Commission should be doing, their intended role, and how they should spend their time. In my opinion, the best-run cities focus on these roles, and they tie together. A good plan leads to good ordinances, and good ordinances lead to easy and correctly made administrative decisions. And as in all aspects of life, if we focus on what matters most, everything falls into place. Are you still here? It's over. Well, I might as well tell you about our next video, What Hat Do You Wear? Part 3, The Public. Stay tuned. Now go. Get to work. Go. Faithfully conduct the public's business. Go.
Anybody tell me what movie that's referenced to?
Ferris Bueller.
Ferris Bueller. So any questions on that one? Or just go to the next one?
Can we make one of these?
Do what?
Can we make one of these?
Can we make one?
Do you have any aspirations to be an actor there, Steve?
No.
I don't want to just do this.
Pollination! The public have come to play a commission meeting. Yes, and they want to speak.
We must flee.
Hello again. Welcome to What Hat Do You Wear? Part 3. I am Brent Bateman, the State Property Rights Ombudsman. If you're watching this video and you have not watched Part 1, the difference between legislative, administrative, and quasi-judicial decisions, and watched Part 2, the Planning Commission, then stop this video right now. Go back and watch those first. That's important.
No, go ahead. I'll wait. Okay, fine. Brief recap. In part one, we talked about how local government officials make either legislative, administrative, or quasi-judicial decisions. A legislative decision makes law. An administrative decision applies the law, and a quasi-judicial decision interprets the law. In part two, we talked about the role of the Planning Commission and their important legislative role to study, draft, and recommend to the council a general plan and amendments to ordinances, as well as their occasional administrative role to hear and decide land use applications. Today, in part three, we will really bring these concepts home. What do they mean, and what role does the public play? How can the public contribute? And in an upcoming video that you can show to the public at the beginning of a public hearing, I will address the public directly. I want to let the public know how they can best contribute to the land use decision-making process. So watch out for that. And again, let's set our quasi-judicial hat aside. It deserves its own video. This discussion will focus primarily on the legislative and administrative decision-making processes. The power of local government to make and enforce land use laws is not inherent. It is specifically delegated to them by the state. Land use power is derived from the police power to protect the health, safety, and welfare of the citizens. The local government has great discretion to decide what it wants its town or county to be, and accordingly what zoning and land use laws it will adopt. Basically, our system gives a local government some power to tell people what they can or cannot do on their land in the interest of the public good. But in order to do that, the council must formally pass ordinances. This process of passing ordinances is the legislative process. Now, the public's role in the legislative process is huge and absolutely critical. The local legislative body, the city council or county commission, are elected by the public to do its work, and they should listen to the public tell them what they want their town or county to be. Yep, that means that when a legislative decision is being made, there comes a point where the public has a right to speak. All right, we as the Planning Commission of the beautiful town of Pleasant Vernal, Utah, will now consider whether we should amend our zoning ordinance to allow a pet crematorium in our very quietest and best smelling residential zone. We will now open the floor to public comment.
I am in favor. I am sick and tired of my neighbor throwing her dead pets into my yard.
I am opposed to this proposal. New pet crematoriums will unfairly compete with my old pet crematorium 2 blocks down the road.
If this wasn't something we all wanted, why did they name the road Roasted Cat Street? And for the record, it was just the one cat that one time. Thank you.
When are you yahoos gonna fix the potholes over on Wipeout Street?
If you approve this, children will die. Will you please think of the children?
Yes, think of the children.
Thank you. This was all great input. Thank you to our wonderful and helpful public. As a planning commissioner or city council person, as long as you are wearing the legislative hat, you can and should consider all of this input when making the decision whether to amend the ordinance. The state law requires that the Planning Commission hold at least one public hearing where the public is allowed to speak when considering a legislative decision. Your local codes may require more public hearings than that, such as a city council meeting, and that's fine. The public must be allowed to speak at whatever meeting that you designate a public hearing. And if you are making a legislative decision, you must hold a public hearing at least once. Listen to them. Consider what they have to say. and then make your zone change or other legislative decision. What about when we are making an administrative decision? What's the public's role then?
All right, last week we amended our zoning code to allow pet crematoriums in the SSH1 zone. This week, we have an application from a Mr. Howard Muckbuster who would like to open a pet crematorium in the zone. This is an administrative decision, people.
There's a lot of people here from the public, and I think they want to speak. I don't think they want pet crematoriums here.
State law does not require a public hearing for an administrative decision. Only a public meeting.
But does our local ordinance require a public hearing?
Yes, it does.
Okay, let's open it up to the public.
If you approve this, traffic will increase on that street. My kids play on that street. Children will die.
If you approve this, burnt pet hair will be released into the atmosphere. My children breathe that air. Children will die.
If you approve this, pets are going to start mysteriously disappearing. My children love those pets. Children will die. When are you ding-a-lings gonna fix the potholes?
I don't have evidence. I prefer public clamor. Please make your decision based on public clamor. Public clamor!
Public clamor! Public clamor! Public clamor!
We can't. That's illegal. For this administrative decision, we need evidence. Facts. Relevant, probative, objective facts that prove or disprove whether or not this application complies with our ordinance.
Clamor, meaning the opinions, fears, and unproven conclusions of the public. That was okay to consider when we were making a legislative decision. That was when we were deciding whether or not to allow pet crematoriums in the area. But we have already decided that now. Now someone has applied, and our job is to decide whether or not their application complies with our ordinance. Because if it does, our answer to them is yes. Administrative decisions must be based on substantial evidence. So, what do we do with all those folks that show up at a planning commission meeting, pitchforks and torches in hand, clamoring about an administrative decision? Well, there are some options. Option one, we can decide not to hold public hearings for administrative actions, or at least not to hold public hearings on every administrative action. Option two, if we do hold public hearings on administrative actions, we can make sure we understand the difference between public clamor and evidence. And option three, we can try to educate the public regarding their role on how to best fulfill it. Let them know that clamor is unhelpful at the administrative stage. Let them know that during an administrative decision, evidence, not opinions, is what is needed. The public's role here is important. In fact, it's critical, but too often is misdirected. As local officials, we want to know what the public thinks and what they want. Their opinions are useful when we are making a legislative decision, but during the administrative process, we are applying, not making the law. Although this seems most often when the public shows up and has the most to say, this is the time to distinguish between evidence and public clamor. Managing this process and avoiding making administrative decisions based on public clamor is one of the best ways to make a correct and legally supportable decision.
Lights. Watch your eyes. Okay. That's it with all my training.
Thank you.
Questions. If you notice on our agenda, or agendas, I list legislative items, mm-hmm. and then list administrative items. That's really to help you guys know which hat you're wearing at which point and which topic. So there isn't that confusion of which hat are we wearing. I just put it on our agenda. This is what you're going to do. So you know which one to put on.
So with what he was talking about towards the end of that, with one we had last week of the people coming up about, you know, the way their houses are, is that just public clowning?
Well,
it says there's no real evidence.
That when we did the public hearing.
Just for the Mr. Terry's thing on 27.
Well, again, you're looking at amending the general plan and amending the zoning map.
Right.
So it was a legislative action, so their level of evidence was low. Anything can be argued. So at that point, you guys could say, don't like it, therefore no. And that's reasonably argued. I probably didn't get the terminology correct, but...
Close enough.
Reasonably debatable.
Reasonably debatable. So that you can, but as soon as it becomes administrative, say that project does get approved for multifamily, then they bring in a site plan. There is no more, it has to be evidence-wise of why, how come, and what for, we can deny it. But even then, if it meets the law, even if the neighborhood comes and says, we don't want it, we don't like it, there's no that's not evidence.
I want to put a car wash at Harmon's.
Now you have zoned it so that you
have to go someplace else.
So that's why I split it from legislative and administrative, so you just know. Here we have to apply the law. They have to bring evidence showing that this is detrimental to the life, safety, and health of the city.
Yeah, but I think with that one, you know, that was definitely a legislative decision, and the public can say what they...
Right.
What they feel. It doesn't have to be based necessarily in fact. And that's what I feel like we have to kind of weigh through that a little bit. And there's a lot of unknowns sometimes, you know, when you talk about traffic issues or safety of children. And, you know, it's interesting because we hear those things and, you know, some of them are very validated, others maybe not. But that's what we have to kind of weigh out and balance when we're making, I think, those legislative decisions, you know, is what is the impact? Because we do have a lot more latitude in a legislative decision than we do when it comes to an administrative, basically. You know, if they meet the criteria, we don't really have much of a choice. But in the legislative, you know, to rezone, we can use that opinion a lot more or go off of opinion.
So, their evidence doesn't have to be big. This will cause more traffic. Yeah, probably will. To what extent, don't know. Hate to use the term, will kids die? No. So, you know, you have to kind of wade through it, but those are things that you can look at. Okay. So that's what I like about this. He makes it funny. I mean, we just watched 3 videos for 30 minutes, and it didn't seem like, well, I didn't think it looked, you know, seemed like a long time.
You have a higher pain tolerance than some of us.
Okay, so you guys might have thought it took forever, but and some of you weren't around when we did it. Years ago, we went through all the uses. We used to have quite a bit were conditional use. It required a public hearing. So even though it was an administrative action or item, the public was invited to talk. And that's where it was really difficult for a planning commission saying, well, you know, throwing your cat and cat hair all over isn't evidence. So when we went through everything, we changed just about everything from conditional to permitted, but listed those items that were conditional, we listed the conditions. Saying, okay, we've done this particular item 5 or 6 times. Here are the conditions we always put on it. Make it permitted. Here are the conditions. So you don't have that fight of, well, the planning commission didn't listen to me. Kids are going to play in the street and get hurt, and, you know, then they're upset and frustrated because you didn't listen. But legally, you couldn't. You know, the only way, the time to deny a conditional use is if they can't mitigate those problems. The noise,
smell,
dust and stuff can be easily mitigated. Yeah. So you just put those conditions in that they have to meet all those. So there was a lot of things that we did to help protect you and the council from those type of things.
Yeah.
Most of it is, I've seen some cities, and even Irma, who is Utah, anyway, they defend cities when they go into lawsuits. They came and taught us that Provo City Planning Commission city and City Council denied a conditional use and they were sued because they had no right to deny it. They met everything the ordinance said. So that was, again, protect you and the council from potential lawsuits. Where it's an administrative, keep it simple. Our ordinance, some things I am the administrative power, single family homes, duplexes, there's a few things here and there, building permits are all staff level. Planning Commission has been deemed the land use authority for site plan review for commercial and anything, you know, triplex and larger, architectural review. And you're actually, if I remember right, if I make an administrative decision and someone box at it, they come to you for the appeal, I believe. Don't quote me, but I think that's how it is, or they might have to just go to the hearing officer, I can't remember. So you do have some authority. So quasi is not really your cup of tea, but I'd have to go back and look. I call it quasi, he's called it
quasi.
And
I call it quasi too.
I'm not gonna debate him, he's an attorney, so he just just say yes sir, and then say however you want.
Yeah, that was a good training that we had from them. That
Irma.
Mm-hmm. Irma, and mm-hmm. They spoke to us in person about that and talked about like the helipad.
Yep, that was the one. That was the one.
The drug treatment facility, where it was for the celebrities. And everybody said, not my backyard, and the council said no. They got sued.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yep. Clearfield did one where they required a 16-foot wall around this business. It's like, that's extreme. So they had to bring it back, or the applicant filed a lawsuit and then they brought it back, changed it to a 6-foot fence, and then went on. So it's,
what was the building? What was the business?
I can't remember. Been a few years, but I remember the Planning Commission, City Council approving it, and I just scratched my head at the planner and went,
okay,
good luck on that lawsuit. So, because again, it's a reasonable condition, 16-foot wall is not. So, any other questions?
Yes, I understand that we're going to look at the revising the general plan.
Uh-huh.
He said there was a video.
I can grab it for next time.
Is it worth looking at?
It probably
is. Know children are going to die and traffic's going to increase, but other than that.
I could look at it and send you guys the link.
Okay.
And you can just kind of look at it at home. I mean, it really just, the state statutes require certain things to be in the general plan, so I have a feeling that's probably what it's about.
Okay.
But it doesn't hurt. I mean, other than if you like his acting, then great. If you don't, then yeah.
Not in my courtroom.
So, but yeah, I can look at that and see what other ones we can kind of send your way. If you want to watch them at home versus here, or we can just do next month's work session on those as well.
I would prefer to do it here because if we have questions and yeah, we interact with one another.
Okay.
And I don't like watching videos alone.
Oh. You're not a YouTube person?
No TikToks for you.
Why don't you bring some popcorn?
I can look at that too.
I was waiting for the boomer comment to come out.
Anything else?
No.
Okay.
I've been conclusion of our training sessions. We'll move on to agenda item number 5, which is the commissioner's minute. Is there anything that any commissioners would like to discuss at this point? About anything?
Chirp.
Silence has been in there being
done.
One
question. Oh. About this hotel that they may be going to build. Do we know anything about that? No.
What hotel?
Mm-hmm.
In the old building where Planet Fitness was. They're looking at buying that.
That's what I heard.
I know a couple of things. I know that somebody from the city, a couple of people from the city, talked to the owner of that shopping center. Mm-hmm. And he wants $4.5 million for the property. And then whoever's going to own the hotel has to build the hotel. And then they get Hilton or whoever to come in and put their name on it. The went in there and they thought Hilton would build these hotels. They're not in the real estate. Most hotels are not in real estate. They're into franchising hotels. So it's a big number. And whether it's economically viable, don't know.
Is that in an instance where the city might give them tax incentives?
They could. That's possible.
It's not part of an RDA.
Okay.
No, it's not.
I remember 15.
So.
But one of the difficulties that I've been told is that the military, the reason for the hotel being located there would be have access to Hill. Mm-hmm. Okay. Most of the people that come to Hill, federal government, and they have a per diem. Mm-hmm. And the per diem is probably not enough to cover the economics of the hotel. So I think that's, and we're not a destination resort, okay? We're not Hawaii, okay? They're discussing it, and if it turns out to be viable and they get somebody to put up the money, then yes. Otherwise, no sell.
But usually if someone makes application, you guys will know.
Yes. We'll
they get approved the site and the building, so.
But there was one that I didn't hear about. My family made fun of me that I did not know. When did the rec go move to the old library?
That's been a while ago.
Is it? Mm-hmm. I never heard about it.
Yeah. It's a city building, so which department? It's like, meh.
Did you finally go try to take a book back? Is that what happened?
That was me in the video. It's overdue by 5 years.
Yeah, they were busting at the seams, needed a little bigger space. And then the old rec building, Public Works Administration, who's on the second floor, which currently is in violation of ADA laws, are moving to the old. Because we have pre-construction meetings all the time. There's no elevator, there's no nothing to get people up there, so we're moving all them to that building.
At an HOA meeting, an annual meeting 10 days ago and whatnot, and I was surprised that a number of the people that attended wanted to know what was going on with the train station and with the downtown. So evidently, that's not just the people. I live on 6,000 and 3,500, so I'm not anywhere near either of these things. But we had a nice little discussion about form-based code and things like that, and a couple of them even threatened to come to the meetings to find out. So it's...
Have them call me.
It's in the water.
I can tell them, too.
It's not just between us girls anymore. Okay.
What does that mean? It's in the water.
Oh, it's all over the place.
Everywhere.
Okay. Right. It's not just localized at the train station or localized downtown. Okay. These are people that don't live anywhere near that, and they were real curious. Okay. So,
any other comments from commissioners? Okay, let's move to staff update.
The only update is the screening ordinance. How do you best describe that?
It was gutted.
They took it, threw it away, and did their own thing.
They're going to work. They were going to work it out, right?
They
haven't sent it back to us yet.
No, they gutted it and did their own thing, talked about it, and then approved it. So.
What are you talking about?
The fencing, landscaping.
Oh, okay, the fencing.
Yeah, they basically took it back to what it currently is and made a few tweaks and left it.
Yeah.
So, but I mean, that's their prerogative. They have the ability. So
will any of that fencing stuff that we went over be in the new general plan?
General plan, no, because that gets really specific.
Yeah. So. I didn't think it did.
Yeah. Were there any developers that were at the council meeting? Because we had a couple of people here.
There were developers, but they didn't get up and talk.
No. Then shame on them. Okay.
Well, most of them weren't necessarily abutting commercial to residential, so they weren't too concerned. Okay.
I thought that was a good one, but
I like the guy's comment that came here, and basically he said if we did that, then he has more ability to develop something site specific, and he can do it by moving the we'd all talked about. Yeah.
I mean, like he said that
from the public, I thought it was great. And
yeah, like he said, the majority of your time is doing stuff like that, and we worked on it for quite a long time and debated and probed and changed and stuff, but again, the council has the ability to approve as is, approve with modifications, or just flat out deny it. So
they're the final authority.
Yep.
One comment that they made though that I liked, that I didn't even, I'm like, why didn't I think about it when we were discussing it, was the talking about, well, trees are great and the shrubs, but what about wintertime? There's no leaves on any trees or bushes, and now there's no screening at all if the heights were different.
Okay. I thought there were such things as evergreens.
Yep.
Yeah, there are. So, but the canopy and the thought of the sound.
I took two council persons around to Clinton, showed them all that was there in the month of January, and didn't seem to go over. But yeah, that's okay.
I watched the live stream again.
You know, other than that, let's see. Roywell Subdivision, which is the northeast corner of 4000 and Midland. Where 7-Eleven will be.
Yes.
They're under construction to do the pipe, sewer lines, water lines, and stuff. 7-Eleven is this close to getting done to get their permit to build, so that will get going. Across the street, the townhomes should be underway already. It's at least sewer lines, water lines, and stuff. They're getting ready to submit their building plans for approval, so that's going.
They're building a school.
Yeah, the school's
going gangbusters at 3,500 and 4,800.
It's Bridger.
When things are financed by private funds.
Private funds.
No offense to anybody.
City has no jurisdiction. Yeah.
Yeah. We'll tell you about it sometimes.
Oh. I mean, I'll take his thunder. He was the engineer on the project, so.
Okay. That doesn't mean I have anything to do with financing, but I know how it works behind the scenes a little bit that way.
Yeah, okay.
There are a few projects that are so incomplete that haven't even reached your guys' table yet. So, one was a 4300 West and 5500 South. That little corner, that the outcropping. Some kid wants to buy the middle lot and put 7x7 soccer fields, four of them there. But he gave me like a Google Earth drawing that had no dimensions, no nothing to it, and said, "Here you go." And he got about a 10-page DRC comments of incomplete, 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 resubmit. So we'll see if he comes back. But there was one other project, I can't remember, but they were incomplete as well. So as soon as they submit, we'll get them to you.
But I've seen they're starting to do stuff on the old Discount Tire.
Yep, Heads Up is going to take that one. The reason why you don't see much work right now is their building permit's still sitting in our office. They started building it, and building officials shut them down. Uh-huh. He just asked him a simple question, "Where's your approved plans?" And he goes, "Back there." And he goes, "Let me rephrase that. Where's your city approved plans?" "Well, I don't know." Oh, and Ed goes, "I know, because they're on my desk. You need a cease and assist," and everybody leaves. So
That's why
it looked at all of a sudden gangbusters, and now no one's there. Yeah. Yeah. They still had a few little bugs to work out. I think that's about it. So, unless you guys have particular questions.
I have one.
12.
DRC Development
Review Committee.
Who is that?
You have the fire marshal, building inspector, public works director, myself, and the engineer. So we'll all review it in accordance with the codes and then give the developer the comments to make it to meet.
So if you can get a fire truck in there to put out a fire.
Yeah, so when you guys ask questions, can a fire truck fit? It's like, well, the fire marshal has to say yes or no. And if he signs off on it, then we're good on the fire end, so. It usually takes them longer to get through the DRC than most everything. There have been a few projects that are, I mean, I was mind boggled how quick they went. And you'll laugh, but Quick Quack was probably the quickest.
Quick Quack is the best presentation we've had.
The best presentation. I gave the applicant.
Oh, by the way, it was an attorney that made the presentation, yep.
It was the attorney that I gave the DRC comments, and he said, okay, we're going to sit down and go line by line. This one, architect, get it done now, okay? This is engineer, get it done now. I mean, I had the drawings back to me in 3 days, and they were complete, where everybody else, it usually takes a month, 2 months to get those drawings back. I mean, he was, I said, get it done, and if you didn't, it was adios, and I'll get some, I mean, that was the quickest I've seen. But
been there, done that.
Yeah, he was not playing around.
They don't play around.
So.
Cool.
Okay.
All right. Well, after that, we move on to agenda item 7, which would be a motion to adjourn. Do I have a motion?
So moved.
We have a motion. Do we have a second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? We are adjourned.
Okay.
Thank you.
No, thank you.
Is that exciting?